you just pull that pulpit aside, it'd be great. Oops. How are you folks doing today? Good? All right. Good stuff. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 24, we find these words. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Our theme for this year is family unity and togetherness. And I believe that if we're going to understand what it means to be a family and to have unity and togetherness, we first have to go back to the foundations of Scripture and see what God says about family and togetherness. And only from there can we draw our context and understand what is it that is required of us. Now, for those of you who've been married for a number of years, you're not really my target audience this morning, but I do believe that God's word is God's word, and truth is truth, no matter where it's found and no matter what age you're in or stage of life you're in. But my primary focus this morning is I'm thinking of Lorena and her boyfriend. I'm thinking of Raquel. I'm thinking of Reese and Tyvon, Kira. I'm thinking of Akima. I'm thinking of Desmond and Christopher and Sion in the back. Diane raises her hands as well, too. Diane, that's a different sermon for a different day. We need an entire Sunday night to cover that one, Diane. So, there are many things. Thank you, Diane. That's what's great. Just makes it a little bit humorous. And so we certainly are thinking of helping our young people and helping those of you who are desiring to be in a relationship. And even those of you that are in relationships, some of the things I'm going to share with you, I practice. I have to force myself sometimes to practice them in my own life because my wife thinks I intentionally forget, but it just happens naturally for me. I don't have to work it. I've got to really keep myself engaged not to forget to do certain things. And so, and I know if most men are like me, you can probably attest to the same things, all right? And so just for those of you who are new with us today, just from last week, we read Genesis 2:24, but there were some verses before that that talked about how God created man, and so we talked about how we, and Timothy is not here today, but he's downstairs. Timothy did some drawing for us, so just so you can have a visual. You know, ideally, what I really wanted to do was to be able to find someone who can make this into a PowerPoint presentation, but I don't have the skills to do it. Then I thought to myself, the next step is I'm going to get a camera. Maybe we could zoom in on it and then put it on the screen. But I'm not there yet. So give me a couple of weeks, okay? I was talking to Lori Kim on the board. And you know, part of my tendency is my type A personality. I like to shift and fly real fast. So I can turn on a dime, you know. I mean, and you don't have to motivate me to move on real fast, you know. I was telling them that we had prayer meeting one night, and I'm going home, and the line is just, the traffic is just going so slow, and I'm thinking, like, it's 9 o'clock at night, like, who is just holding up the traffic? And so I drive a standard, so for me, I just drop that thing down into second, get the RPMs up, and I'm gone, you know? And so I'm blowing by the guy, and I look, of course, when you're passing, you want to know who's taking up, so of course I look, and it's somebody that was just at the prayer meeting, so I just keep the RPMs going. I was down the road. So I like to shift and fly in a hurry, so you just bear with me. Anyway, so anyway, we'll make these adjustments as we go along. And so Timothy, in all of his artistic ability, showed us last week, Gina, how, you know, in this environment called Eden, how God was in there, and then he gave Adam his instructions, and there was water coming up to keep the environment moist, so there was humidity, and there was animals, and there was gold, and Adam was a gardener, and he was the man responsible to take care of the garden. And of course, when we read the scriptures, we saw that God planted all the trees in there first, then he put the animals, and then the text tells us in two separate locations that God brought Eve to Adam, who was in the garden. So, and when he gave him all the responsibilities of taking care of the garden, Eve was not yet made, but when she came into that environment, she now became his responsibility to make sure that her well-being was taken care of, and this was a peaceful environment, and I didn't have to worry about no baby's mama and stepchildren and mother-in-law and father-in-law. It was just Adam and Eve, and God was there present, and it was a perfect environment. We also stated last week that even though this was a perfect environment, sin still came into this environment because Adam and Eve chose not to obey the words of God. And so anytime we profess that we're believers and we choose not to follow what God has said to us, we will run into difficulties. We will run into challenges. And so in light of the young people that I'm trying to talk to today, and in light of our theme, which is family unity and togetherness, I use this as a visual just to remind you of who you are. Because if you're going to be mindful of bringing family together and having unity, whether it's in the home or in the church, you and I need to know who we are. If you don't know who you are, how can you build a foundation upon something that you don't know? So I need to understand who I am as a person. Young men, you need to understand who God has made you to be. Young women, you need to understand who God has made you to be. And for the older folks as well, too. Even though this may not necessarily apply to you, the principles can relate to every one of us, regardless of our stages of life, whatever stage of life that life finds us in. And so there's a good book coming out that talks about this, but I'll tell you about it later on. Anyway, we want to just let you know that this is something I believe that if we're going to have healthy relationships, we need to understand who we are. And as a young man growing up, I had a great relationship with my father, but he never really took the time to talk to me about healthy relationships and life and sex and all that kind of stuff. When my dad at 14 started to talk to me about sex, I said, he couldn't even say the word. I said, "Dad, is that what you're talking about?" "Oh, man, I've been down that road long time ago. Man, you late, brother." No, I didn't tell him that. I said it on the inside. You know, so that's just my experience, right? I mean, so grew up in South America, and certain things are cultural, and a lot of things go on, and if you're in that environment, you kind of know what's going on. So so I thought to myself, if we're going to, especially in a church, we always get in our young people when they mess up, and then we have this big deal of, you know, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that, but we never really take the time to teach them what they should be in understanding who they are. But very quickly, the church can become very judgmental and critical of young people and of all people. And so I thought if we can shed some light on some of this information and share with our young men and young women what God's purpose for their lives are, as reflected in Scripture, perhaps it can help them. So Tyvon, I want to say to you as a young man, how old are you now, 19? 18? Perfect age. All right. So Tyvon, when God created you, he created you with the ability to have his instructions. Every man was created with the ability to receive God's instructions. Every man was created to be a gardener. He has given us the ability to be providers and to take care of. And most men that I know, you don't have to push them too hard to go and find a job. Now, there are few, but most men are not opposed to getting up and working and looking after their families, right? Amen, gentlemen? All right, you will travel miles to go to work, look for work, find work. You want to take care of your family. And what happens if you are a godly man, knowing that you have the responsibility of taking care of your family and not able to do so? How does that make you feel? Not very good, right? And we don't have to work that emotion up. It is right there. It reminds us that we have somehow failed or delinquent in our responsibilities to provide in a healthy way. So a lot of times we get so caught up in working, though, that our identity now becomes associated with what we do. And so you find that after a guy works in a company for X number of years and he retires and he's got no identity left because he's now retired, he jumps off the high-level bridge because he doesn't have anything to live for because his identity has been caught up for all the years in what he does. Now, that's not of God. But Tyvon, God has given you the ability to create an environment of security. So when you meet Mrs. Tyvon, which is another 40 years from now, okay? Great age for start. 60 is good. So when you meet Mrs. Tyvon, you will have some information that most young men your age are not going to have. So you can write me the check later, okay? Good. All right. Good. So Tyvon, you have this ability to be a provider, to take care of, and God has put into not only your DNA, but the ability to have resources. And we sometimes don't think about this, Gina, but we work really, really hard to get more and more stuff, right? We want the newest car. We want the newest house, the newest neighborhood, the newest LCD TV. 45 is no good. We got to have 52. You know what I mean? Like, we want the biggest engine. Like, we just want stuff. We just, in North America, we just collect a lot of stuff that we really don't need. We can get by without it, all right? But there's something in our ability just to collect and gather more stuff. There's something in our ability to really praise and worship God. But we notice that once sin entered into this environment, the enemy has taken everything that God has said was good and holy, and he just put a twist on it now. And in fact, the enemy never says you can't have all of these things. But he says, well, you can have God's instructions, but you don't have to have it all the time. See, you can have it Monday to Friday. But from Friday, from 10 o'clock at night till 3 in the morning, you can have a little bit of freedom. So he doesn't, you know, and then you can go back to church on Sunday. You know, he doesn't say you can't have it. So he says, you know, like, you know, you can take care of yourself, but of course, I mean, you got to have yourself a nice truck. You know, I mean, it's $80,000, but who cares if you can't afford it? Just have it. You need it. Do something for yourself. You know, bless you. You know, empower you. And so, it's always, you know, and the enemy doesn't, you don't have to, God, you don't have to not give any money to the church. You can tip. You don't have to tithe. I mean, you know. So he never tells you don't do the things that God has said to do. He just puts a little bit of twist on it, you know. And once the doors open a little bit, then it becomes a foothold and then a stronghold, and it can lead into serious challenges and difficulties. So men, let me talk to you for a second. God is, when God was thinking of creating the family, he didn't start with Eve first. When God was thinking of creating family, he didn't start with Eve first. Okay? When God was thinking of creating a family, he started with Adam. He set Adam up first and placed him in a position where he would understand what it means to look after a family. Ladies, when God was starting with a family, he didn't start with the woman first. So if you're fighting your husband for the pants in the house, today would be a good day to stop that. Now, if he doesn't want to wear it, and you have to wear it by choice, by default, then do what you have to do. But if the brother is willing to stand up and be a man, don't be fighting him on every corner of the house. I'm glad this is on camera. Don't be fighting the man on every corner of the house to wear the pants. Now, ladies, I must give it to you. What we've seen over the years, it's not what God has created, but man was created to be the leader. But because of sin, something has flipped a little bit. And now what starts to happen is you ladies now have become the leaders, and you've been forced to lead for a lot of years. And then what happens is the brother gets a little bit of Jesus, and you've been wearing the pants for the last 50 years, and so he's found Jesus, and he wants to be the man that God has called him to be, and you won't give him the pants back. Shall I continue with this? So, we appreciate strong women. I tell my wife all the time, I wouldn't want to be married to someone that, you know, she wants to buy a $5 cookie or something, has to check with me. I don't need that. That drives me crazy. You know, I appreciate that she needs something, she can go buy it, we can talk later. That's good. I like that, you know. But at the same time, you need to have balance in your relationship. So you ladies that have been forced to be the leader and to be the ones pushing God's instructions and trying to create an Eden, you have to be careful that you don't create an environment where we are not encouraged to prosper and to succeed and to nourish as well. So if you happen to have started a relationship with someone who did not know the Lord or did not know the Lord in a deep and intimate way, and over the years has gotten deeper with Jesus and he's rising to the occasion, then you need to have enough wisdom to pull back and allow the man to rise to the occasion. But if you keep fighting him on every front, but then keep criticizing him that he's not what he's supposed to be, but you keep fighting him, like someone else is going to make use of that. All right? So if you don't care for him and treasure him and give him the opportunity, somebody else will. All right? So let me talk to you about four things that we see in this environment here, and you can write them down. In this environment, my friends, how many of you think this was a secure environment for Eve? Was this a secure environment for Eve? Like, was there anything in this environment that was making her nervous? No, right? This was a secure environment for Eve. There was nothing in Adam's life that was more important to him than looking after what God had given to him to look after. So number one, you can write down, if you're taking notes, just write down the word security. Okay, write down the word security. Brother Paul, you getting all of this? No? You getting all of this? No? All right, stay with me, Brother Paul. Stay with me, okay? All right. Number one is security. Gentlemen, let me share something with you. Every woman has been created by God to live in a secure environment. And I want you to know that if you see a very unsettled woman or wife, chances are that she's not secure. There is something in her life that hasn't been settled properly. And so, gentlemen, it is our responsibility as the husbandman, as the gardener, to make sure that our wives are in a secure environment. Now, for Adam and Eve, there was nothing in this environment that was insecure for Eve, and Adam was able to deal with this perfect environment. But in today's day and age, when we meet a young lady, Tyvon, Reese, all right, Lorena, young man, what's your name again? I forgot. Spencer. So Spencer, you like Lorena, and that's good. I mean, it's good to see people finding love. But Spencer, your responsibility is to know everything you can know about Lorena. Now, let me tell you a little secret. If you want to know, if you're serious about Lorena, and you want to make sure that she's secure, the first thing you have to do is spend a lot of time with Fred. Spencer, you got to hang with him in the garage. You got to take him for a movie. When he's cutting the grass, grab the rake. When he's shoveling the snow, grab one with him. You, if you really want to know Lorena, you get to know Fred. You get to know Fred. All right? If you really want to know Lorena, you get to know Fred. Even though Pat has as equal influence or more, Lorena's relationship with her husband is going to be similar to those of her dad's. Are you with me? All right, so Spencer, just that's a freebie. So if you really want to get to know this young lady, I mean, you ought to call Fred up. You ought to buy him ice cream, find out what his favorite food is. I mean, wash his truck. I mean, whatever. just come by and cut the grass every once in a while. I mean, I'm telling you, right? So when I get to what happens, there is no dad. So when we get to that point. So with Adam and Eve, there was just the two of them. And so there was no father for Eve and no father for Adam. So they were starting at zero. But in today's day and age, when you meet someone, they come with a lot of life experiences. And some of those life experiences are not very good. We may refer to them as baggage. I don't like the word, but it gives you what I'm talking about. So for example, you, Spencer, you go out and you, this is your Lorena. And when you met her at 17, Lorena, how old are you now? 18? Okay, so this is Lorena, is 18, all her leaves are green. But then Spencer decides he's going to marry Lorena. And all of a sudden, 3 years into the marriage, Lorena's leaves started turning brown and yellow. And all of a sudden, Spencer is going, when you were 17, you were so bright and green. And now you're 25, and you're starting to get... All of a sudden now, she's starting to get yellow spots. But Spencer, you don't have the option of taking Lorena back to Fred's house. And when she's gone, she's gone. She's yours. So, Spencer, it's your responsibility to figure out why those leaves are turning yellow. And maybe, you know, maybe Fred said something to her when she was 5. That's now surfacing when she's 35. And let me pause there for a minute. A lot of your childhood unresolved issues surfaces between the age of 35 and about 45 when you got a couple of kids, finances are stressed, are tight, and you're trying to figure out life. So all the stuff you haven't resolved with as a child, wait till you're about 35 to 45, it has a way of just coming back up. So Spencer, it's your responsibility. You can say, you know what, Lorena, your leaves are turning yellow. I'm going to find me another Lorena. You don't have that option. Marriage is the only commitment that when you get into it, you ought not to get out like if you just bought a house. So you can buy a house, and you know what? After 2 years, I don't like the walls, I don't like the color. You can paint it, you can sell it. You can't do that with marriage. You shouldn't do that with marriage. It's a commitment. You've got to figure it out. And so, Reese, when Ashley starts turning yellow and you start seeing things that you don't like, and when all the blister and all the lovey-dovey stuff is gone, you have to figure out what is it going to take. And maybe she had a bad relationship with her dad or a previous boyfriend or an abusive mother. Regardless of what the situation is, it is as the husband, man, and the gardener, it is your responsibility to figure that out and bring some kind of stability to the environment. I'm using this as an example because we can relate to it. So maybe if this was Ashley, maybe she needs more sunlight. Maybe you're giving her too much sunlight. Maybe you've been pouring salt water in her roots versus fresh water. Maybe she doesn't have enough nitrogen. And so you've got to be able to figure out what it's going to take to keep the leaves green. And that's what a gardener does. That's what Adam's responsibility was. He was the husbandman. So this is why it's important before you start dating, you understand what you're getting into. So if you start dating a young lady who has been promiscuous from the age of 13 and she's kept that up all her life, now she's 21, 25, 26, 27, you're going to have some serious issues to deal with. So if you're not prepared for that, then you ought not go down that road. All right? Young ladies, let me pause and talk to you. Some of you may not have good relationships with your dads and your fathers and so forth, and they tell us from surveys done in the United States that about 90% of the women that are incarcerated teenagers that they found themselves pregnant and on drugs come from homes where dad has been absent. So, young ladies, I understand what the survey says. But I also know who God has created you to be. And while it's important that you have a healthy relationship with a dad, it's not an excuse for you to not make correct choices for yourself. All right? And so while I'm on the topic, I want to say to you, if we really talk about being a church family, men, if we are really a church family, those of us men who are mature, and we see these young ladies that don't have any father figure in their lives, technically, spiritually, godly, we should be the one to come around them and be that example of fatherly love to them. But in today's day and age, you got to be so careful, because one simple accusation and it's out the window for you. But if you can do it in a way that you're protected and the young lady's protected, that is what should happen. It takes a village to raise a child. All right? So ladies, in your DNA, your number one need is security. If you don't have security, you are a miserable creature. If you don't feel the sense of security, you are a miserable creature. All right? But the good news is, men, is that I've never seen a woman who would leave her husband because she feels oversaturated with security. Never once have I run into that in all of my life. So in my estimation, no matter how offbeat or crazy or challenging the woman is, if you are a true man of God and you have God's instructions and you understand what He's called you to be and what to be and how to be it, you can create the correct environment for your wife. Because I tell you what, if your wife or your girlfriend is having a bad day and you grab her from behind and you just say, "No, let's just pray and just hold her and squeeze her," I don't know too many women who's going to get inflamed over that. All right. Come on, ladies, this is where you're supposed to help me out. Thank you. Can you say that a little louder so that everyone can hear you? She's having a bad day, and you crawl into bed, and you squeeze her close to you, and you say, "Let's pray, honey." And you start praying for her and praying for your family. Diffuses the tension. This is for free, gentlemen. A lot of times, well, I'll get to it later on. It's coming later on. So, security. So, Raquel, you need security. You need to be in a relationship with someone who understands that. So if you're with a guy who spends a lot of time with his truck and his football and this thing and that thing, and all of those things are before you, and you don't see any effort being made to put you as priority number one, then you probably ought to think twice about getting involved seriously in that kind of a relationship. Because if he's not willing to do it up front, he's not going to do it when he commits later on, right? So make sure that security is in place. What happens for the ladies who are married and are living in an environment where their husbands aren't creating that secure environment? So you've been married for 25, 30 years, and the guy hasn't changed. He's still be the same. You're a godly woman, and then Peter, too, tells us that, you know, you ought to live your life in such a way that by your godly behavior, you will bring him back to the faith. So my only encouragement for you today is keep living and demonstrating godliness, and let the Word of God fulfill its promises and its word in your life. All right? You don't have to get your pung to flesh, but live as a true godly woman and keep the volume down. What do you say, Jerry? I sure heard you said something, Jerry. Ladies, keep the volume down. You know what Proverbs says? It's better go live on top of the roof than to live in a house with a crazy woman. All right? You can look it up. It's on the Bible. So, ladies, security, that's number one. Every woman needs security, number one. Second thing that women need, that Eve had in this environment, not only security, but meaningful conversation. All right? It was just the two of them. I mean, he could talk to the animals, but they weren't talking back to him. But in this environment, it was meaningful conversation. You write down number two, meaningful conversation. Well, what does meaningful conversation look like? For every woman, it's different. Some women need 5 minutes. Some need 10. Some need a half an hour. Some need an hour. Some need 2 hours. gentlemen, you have to figure out what your lady and your wife needs. Tyvin and Reese and Spencer, you know, Lorena needs to conversate. God built her with the ability to dialogue. She needs to talk. We call it venting, but it's not necessarily venting. It's the ability to just conversate and to be in meaningful relationship. That is another part of building security. So meaningful conversation. Now, when we first got married, and even sometimes Debbie would do this, and but then she catches herself because we're married for a while now. So I'd walk in the door, I got my bag on, I got my jacket on, I'm dressing, and she starts talking to me, and I give her that look. And then she says, okay, I'll talk to you when you're done. But after being married for so many years, it doesn't bother me now. But Sister Etty, there was a time when I walked in the house, and I've been dealing with church folks all day. I just want to go home, Fred, and watch the 6 o'clock news. I mean, it's a great way to unwind, all right? All right? So this is good. Hey, you should come up here and do this with me. You know, we make a good team. All right, good. All right. Now, just remember who the man is. I bet you've never been in a lively church service in this ever before in your life, huh? All right. Yeah, I know who I is. I know who I got my stuff together. I'm good. I'm cool. Little type A doesn't hurt, you know. So what I've done in terms of meaningful conversation, because she's home all day with the kids, I'm dealing with church folks and dealing with problems and challenges. I don't want to talk. I just want to watch, you know, Gord Steinke on 6 o'clock news, you know? So what I realize is that I come home, she wants to talk, and I want to be left alone. Now I'm getting irritated because I just want to watch the news. And she's getting irritated because I've got the remote control, and I'm just, you know, and we're not conversating. So what we did, thank goodness for technology. I loved it when they brought out the PVR box. Because what I do is I can set my news to record at 6 o'clock, and when I come home, I can give Debbie the time that she needed and give her all the information. And this is what she used to do. So I don't know about you. So she said, well, tell me about your day. And I said, well, it's all right. And it was good. And it wasn't enough. And I'm thinking, at first, I felt like she was checking up on me to see if I was doing something illegal or something like that. So I'm thinking, no, seriously, right? Because she would ask these questions, and I didn't understand, because I really felt that, like, I felt like she didn't trust me. That's how I was feeling, like I was out doing something I wasn't should be doing. And as I began to do some research, I discovered that wasn't the case. She just wanted to talk to know how my day was, so I made a plan. And fellas, this worked, because it didn't last very long. This worked really, really good, okay? This worked really, really good. Y'all loving this, aren't you? It's we're streaming live. All right, see, that's good. So what I did, Flory. So when she'd ask me my day was, I started. Okay, so I, you know, went to the gym, dropped the kid off at school, went to the gym, worked out, got back to the church at 9 something, prayed, did my devotions, prepared my sermon at 12 o'clock. And by the time I get to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she's bored out of her mind. She doesn't want to hear anymore. So I did that for like a few times. And so I'd start like at 8, 8.15, 8.25, 8.45, 9.02, you know, 10.06. You know? By the time I got to 3 o'clock, she was like, you know, that's all. We're good. It's done. So. But she needs meaningful conversation. And gentlemen, when your wife is talking to you, she probably mentioned a lot of problems, you know, the cats threw up over the couch and the roof's leaking, the car won't run properly. A lot of times, most times, they don't want us to go and fix anything. They just want us to listen and to pay attention and to give them an opportunity to get that information off of their chest. But sometimes, us guys, we're in the fix it because we are husbandman and gardener. We hear of a problem right away. We want to get up and go on top of the roof, and we want to go get the cat fixed, and all that kind of stuff, and that's not what they're asking for. Right? Spencer, that's not what she's asking for. She just wants an opportunity to vent and to. So security, meaningful conversation. Number three is emotional affection. All right? Eve was not placed in the garden to receive her affection from the animals, even though dogs are man's best friend. But Adam was the guy that was responsible to provide that meaningful affection. All right? And so from the Smalley Institute, here's what they've said, what the information we received. Most women said that, and these are married women, if they weren't sexually involved with another man, it wouldn't bother them. But not to be held and to be cuddled and to be cherished would be a real problem. So women have said to us that if you're going to have a healthy relationship, there's got to be meaningful emotional affection that takes place. And this is the, you know, the holding hands, the little kiss, you know, the I love yous, and not like the guy that says, you know, the wife complains that he never tells me that he loves me, and, you know, they went to a counselor, and, you know, the counselor is listening, and the wife is complaining, he doesn't say he loves me, and all this kind of stuff she's going on, and so the counselor just had enough, so he got up, run over to the man's wife, grabbed her, give her a big kiss, and he says, that's what your wives need. And the man said, okay, I'll bring her back next week the same time. So meaning emotional affection is that our wives want to be held, want to be cherished, to be told that they are beautiful, they look lovely, and the list and list goes on. They need that for their emotional well-being. And so the challenge with us guys, and I have to be very careful here because, you know, women, you are God's most beautiful creation. And I don't mean that loosely. I'm seriously mean that you are God's most beautiful creation. If you understand what you do to us men, you would rule the world in leaps and bounds. But for some reason, God has not put it that way yet. But if you understand what you do to us men, it would be it'd be incredible, blowing your mind. And so the thing with us is that when we start hanging out with you and we start holding hands and a little kiss here and a little kiss there, guess what happens to us? Okay, use your imagination, right? All right, they said that the average guy thinks about sex all the time. That's true. All right, so are we going to be honest about this? Right? There's nothing wrong with that. But the only problem is, Christina, is that sometimes you're not looking for intimacy. You just want to be held and caressed. And when brother starts doing that, then he's already gone to the next stage, and the focus changes. And that's the challenge. All right? We're going to second base now. So, and you're still in first base. I want to stay at first base. All right? What's that? RBI? Run on base? All right? So that's a challenge. And so, fellas, what I encourage the men to do is oftentimes go for a walk and hold hands and, you know, and show that affection when people are around, like with the kids. And so even if it grosses them out, yes, which we love to do, right? That's right. Yeah, yeah. Love you, kids. Hey, listen to this. If I'm sitting on the couch, holding my wife's hands, having a smooch, and they come into the family room, whose problem is that? Whose problem is that? Whose problem is that? That's not my problem. All right, so... All right, so go in your room. You have a room, go in your room. It's my house. I can say wherever I want. I am the man. Gotta love it, eh? Gotta love it. So, again, my encouragement to you is make sure that those meaningful affections are in place, because that's important for our ladies as well. And men, we're the ones that are required to do that. And we are the husbandman, we are the gardener, and God expects that from us. And so I want to encourage you to make sure that those things are in place. And then last but not least is sexual intimacy. Well, let me back up for a second. Meaningful affection. Young people, I want to talk to you about something. I know you guys have your girlfriends, and Reese and Spencer, you guys are in church, and it hasn't been a real issue here, but I want to tell you, I want you to show affection, but for young people, there's an appropriate time and place to show affection. So if you're in church and you're trying to stifle each other with your tongue, that's probably not a good thing. Okay? All right? Come on, guys. All right? So, what's that? Sure. Absolutely. You model it, right? But it's got to be, there has to be a limit, right? I mean, if you're trying to choke each other, you know, you know, that's not appropriate. Poor Fred is just turning red in the corner over there. it's right on. It's right there, man. It's right there. All right. So people, yeah, show your affection. But, you know, you've got to use moderation. You've got to be sensitive. So you're in church, and you ought not be trying to, because the first thing goes through my mind, if I look over there and I see Reese and Ashley are just going at it, and I'm thinking, if they're doing that in church, what happens when nobody's around? Somebody set up a counseling appointment. All right? And not that I want you to be phony, because I don't want you to pretend that you're one way in church and you're different when you're not. We want you to be consistent and live godly, and to respect that young lady as God's daughter, and she has to respect you as God's son and treat you that way as well. And so Tyvon, your responsibility is to say to God, I want to be the best son-in-law you've ever had. Right? And be the best son that God's ever had, the best son-in-law that you can be for God. And so be careful in your affections, because you are in church and public places, and you got to watch that. Use modesty. All right? Good. The last thing that we're going to talk about, of course, number four, is sexual intimacy. All right? Now, this is a big one in the church, because it's gotten real quiet in here now. Woo! So all the people who agree that God created sex and God created good sex, say, yeah. Yeah. I just did that to break the ice, because I know, okay, you have to understand something. My background, my parents, this is not something that they even talk to us about in the home. So to be a pastor talking to about it on the pulpit, it will be a real stretch for some people. I've told you the story where I was visiting my mother one day. Of course, we didn't live together. I'd live with my dad, and I'd gone to visit my mother, and we were sitting out on the veranda, and a girl was walking by who was almost not dressed at all. And as young boys, I probably 8, 9 years of age, started giggling, as most boys that age would do, and you're getting into puberty and all that sort of thing. And her boyfriend was sitting there, excuse me, and because we were giggling, he decided that he was going to talk to us about sexuality. And I could hear my mother from the kitchen going, if I had a daughter, I will tell her about sex, but I'll let the boys figure it out for themselves. Well, guess what? We all did. And guess what? It wasn't the best start in life for us. All right? That's my background. I don't want that for you, nor for my children, nor for anyone. So you think of me having this kind of a talk with Akeem in the car. Dad, stop and getting out and taking a bus home. And so if it's not going to be covered in the home, but it's something that God created, then why can't we talk about it like we talk about any other subject because it's God's creation. We can talk about water. We can talk about food. We can talk about marriage. We can talk about sin. Why can't we talk about sex in church? So God created sex, and God created good sex, but God created a context in which sex should happen, and that only context is in the marriage bed. God created good sex, but the only context in which it should take place in is the marriage bed. The marriage bed is undefiled. All right? So ladies, let me talk to you about this. If you don't believe me and you want to have security and meaningful conversation and emotional affection, but you're giving it up for free, then there's no incentive for the brother to make you feel secure about anything. All right? You can't expect him to make you feel secure and meaningful conversation, emotional affection, when he's getting all the benefits of the relationship without the responsibilities. I mean, gentlemen, we're men. We're not bad men, but we're not stupid either. If you can get the milk through the fence, why buy the cow? Am I wrong? Why would I commit to a relationship if I can enjoy all the benefits of it and not have to make that kind of commitment? So ladies, you play an important role in making sure we achieve to be the men that God wants us to be, because you force us to stand and rise to God's occasion. But if you help us violate God's word and promises and his system that he's got in place, then both of us fail. All right, both of us fail. So I'm going to stop there on this particular topic. And what I'll do is I'll meet with the young people another time, and I can probably get a little bit more in detail about certain things for them. But I can see your faces, and you're all tense and nervous and thinking, oh, man, I wish he would just quit just about now. All right. So in this regard as well, I don't think that as believers, we should put ourselves in compromising positions. All right? So again, you guys that are dating, so Spencer, there's no reason for you to be alone with Lorena late at night if Fred and Pat are not home. All right? Or in the afternoon, if they're not home, right? Don't put yourself in compromising positions. Listen, guys, listen. You're young. Your hormones are kicking like crazy. From birth, our neurological connectors have been severed because of the testosterone that's flowing through us. So we're testosterone driven, which is part of our sex drive. And so when you get to teenage years, I mean, you know what's going on with your body. All right? So, I mean, you don't even need to have gasoline. Just the smell of gasoline could ignite a fire. So, am I telling the truth? Joseph, when you were young, I mean, come on, man. Work with me here. All right? There's no gasoline. You had propane? I bet you can't remember the last time you laughed this hard in church. So I'm saying to you that don't put yourself in compromising positions. Even if you're single and even if you're married. Because the laws of nature are the laws of nature. You put a man and a woman together for any length of time, the laws of nature will happen. Okay? It just is. That's the way God made the laws of nature. So don't put yourself in compromising positions where you can dishonor yourself, dishonor your sister or your brother. And this may not be applicable to you, but you may have grandchildren, nieces and nephews. Someone needs to teach them these things so that they can be empowered to make correct choices for themselves. And I say for you, young ladies, those of you that are waiting, both men and women, for those of you that are waiting on one of God's sons and waiting for a relationship, do not compromise. Do not compromise. God's standards are God's standards. And I know what the world is saying and what they're doing. They're falling in and out of the wrong bed all the time. But as a child of God, you got to have some standards for yourself. And I'd rather you wait and be in agony and pain than to compromise, because you can never cut corners with God and come out square. You just never do. Absolutely. Sister Bishop, would you come to the microphone and say that for me, please? So they can hear you. All right. Sound man, can I have a... And no feedback, please. You know what I mean. Oh, go ahead.
He said something earlier that I wanted to speak to as well.
Oops, sorry.
As far as letting the man wear the pants in the house.
Now you got to go there.
I have to. Now, when Sam and I got married, I was a single mom. I was 30 years old. He was a single dad.
I'd been doing my own thing for a long time. I was used to making my decisions. I was used to living the way I wanted to live. I was used to running the house the way I wanted to live. Women nowadays are raised to be self-sufficient. We are taught that you can't expect a man to take care of you. You have to have your own career. You have to have all these things. And those things are important, because you do. You need to help your family. You need to have these things. And being submissive to your husband and letting him wear the pants does not mean that he rules you. It does not mean that you may not have a better career than him. It does not mean that you don't get to help make decisions in the house. And it was hard for me, because I'm a very strong person. I'm very independent. But when I got to the point where I learned, if we don't agree in a decision for the family, and I let him make the decision, because he is the man in the family, he is ultimately responsible to God for our family and that decision. So for me to force my will against his will, when he's the one that has to answer to God for our family, makes no sense. But when I learned to do that, we learned to communicate better, and God blessed those things, because I stepped up. He didn't always make the right decisions. No, he didn't. He didn't.
I'm playing.
But at the same time, there's many times when I disagreed with him completely. And if we had done what I wanted, that would have been the wrong decision too. And letting him be the leader doesn't mean he's always going to be right. But when we as women allow our men to be all God has called them to be, then we free ourselves up to be all God has called us to be. Because we're not worrying about being what God wants him to be. We get to be what God wants us to be.
Hey, babes. You didn't know there was a preacher in there, did you? There's a lot of things you don't know. We're trying to make some changes around here this year, so we're doing some things differently. We're not going to completely change everything, but we're hoping that as we talk about family unity and togetherness, that we'll be able to share some of these things with you and move on. So just on the other side, as we wrap this up, we know that women need security, meaningful conversation, emotional affection, and last on the list is sexual intimacy. So gentlemen, when you haven't told your wife that she looks beautiful at 6 in the morning, bad breath, drool down the side of her mouth, all that other stuff, and then you haven't talked to her all day, and you crawl into bed at 10 o'clock at night, and you go, hey honey, it's the wrong century, it's the wrong decade, it's the wrong, All right? So what happens at 9 and 10 o'clock at night starts at 6 in the morning. Hello, somebody. All right? Now, ladies, you have security, meaningful conversation, emotional affection, sexual intimacy. That's important to you. But guess what? The men have the same needs, just in the reverse order. So when you hear people say that all a guy thinks about is sex all the time, Okay, my fellas, where we at? All right? Yeah. It's on the mind. We didn't create ourselves to be that way. This is how God created us to be. Now let me pause there for just a little bit. And so you know, when you're young, of course, testosterone flowing through your body, and you know, and you got a young family, your wife is dealing with young kids all the time. 8 o'clock at night, she's tired. She don't want nobody touching her. All right? And so you've been out and you come home and you want to be intimate with your wife. And in these young years, and when you got young families, it can be tricky. So you're going to have to be creative, okay? So when Buddy and Akima are at practice on Thursday nights, I'm not here. Didn't we just say that God created sex and good sex? So if you don't see me next Sunday morning, I'm having a Pentecostal nap. So you're having lots of fun today, aren't you? I'm bringing this to a close. So, men have the same needs, and a healthy man ages 35 to 99. Survey says that sexual release 3 times a week is normal. So you deal with that, whatever you want to deal with it. Why is that so funny, Fred? All right. And so for us, ladies, I got one more for you. So sex is important for us. That's the top of our list. And after that, we'll cuddle, and then we'll talk. So ladies, this is a freebie for you. Now, all the guys are going to hate me for this. All the repairs that you want done in the house and all the things you want fixed and the renovation, there's a time to ask for that. It's in stage 3. And that's your negotiating stage. You can get anything you want in that stage. All right, so just use wisdom. All right. So we're talking about family unity and togetherness. And this is the foundation that God has set for us. All right, this is the foundation that God has set for us. I want to encourage you to try your best to stand on this foundation. For those of you who are going into a relationship with broken hearts, I would say to you, do everything you can in your power to make yourself ready for one of God's sons or daughters, to keep yourself ready for one of God's sons or daughters. And I want to challenge you to continue to seek ways of getting emotionally, spiritually healthy. If you don't, and when you get into a relationship with someone else who did not take the time to deal with their issues as well, what happens is the two of you become like two fleas or leeches just trying to suck the life out of each other. And it's not supposed to be that way. So get help. Get some counseling. Deal with the reconciliation and the forgiveness and the abuse, whatever it is, so you can be ready for one of God's sons or daughters in your life. If you don't deal with these issues, I don't understand why God would want to send you one of his sons or daughter so that you can torment that person. Okay? So be ready. Prepare yourself. Keep yourself ready. Make yourself ready. All right? Do whatever you got to do. All right? So next week, we'll cover another family issue that we see in Scripture. But I want you to understand this is the foundation that God has set for us. And this is what he wants us to follow. And make it a matter of prayer and careful decision making. In fact, to all of my young people, I would say to you, when you find a young lady that you think, or a young man that you think you may be interested in settling down with, why don't you find myself or another pastor and go through a lengthy period of premarital counseling? I have a system that I use. And I've told some people before that I would not marry them after the assessment came back to me because I can see certain things. And, you know, going to a pastor for 2 hours, that's not premarital counseling. You have to cover issues like communication, spiritual beliefs, family relationship, marital expectation, financial management. There's about 12 different areas that I cover with individuals. And what's happening now, New Hope, is that there are people who don't come to our church but have gone through the premarital counseling with me that are not even believers. Now they're telling their secular friends, hey, we went through premarital counseling with Pastor Sion. You got to check this out. So people are calling me now and say, can we go through the premarital counseling with you? But it's not me. It's just the way the assessment is set up, because it points out everything and it eliminates he says, she says. It just sticks with the facts. And then you ask the hard questions. And people either change or they pull apart. And so take the time and get the information that you need. So whether you're single or single again, I've learned that terminology recently. I think it's fantastic that you be in meaningful relationship, because that is what God created us to be in. But do your due diligence and don't cut any corners. Take your time. So Eleanor, when he shows up and he says, honey, you look so fine, you say, let's go see the pastor. Diane, I don't want you to tell me I'm eloping to Mexico. We gotta sit down and go through some premarital counseling, because I want you to enjoy the rest of your life with fruitfulness and abundance. Elva, don't count yourself out of the race. All right? All right, sister girl. All right, sister girl. Okay? Margaret, don't count yourself out of the race. Okay? But keep yourself ready. Be prepared to receive what God has in store for you. It's 12:15. I need to shut it down. Man, I've gone real long today. Whew. Was that all right? All right. All right. I don't know what needs there might be in our sanctuary today. And Patricia, would you join me on the piano if you don't mind? And there may be some folks who would like prayer for whatever it is. It could be in relation to what we just spoke about or something completely different. And if there are members of the altar ministry team that are here, would you join me at the platform and let's cover some of these needs as they may present themselves before us today. I don't know what's going on in your hearts. I don't know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, but if we could pray with you today, we would appreciate the opportunity to do so, and we would hope that you would give God an opportunity to also create a change and to work his power in your life. Perhaps you've been trying it your way for some time now, and this is a great opportunity for you to give God an opportunity to do it his way versus your way. Maybe you've been making mistakes. Maybe you've been slipping and falling. Perhaps you've been straddling the fence. Today is the day for decision making and to give God an opportunity to decide who you will follow, who you will commit to, whose word will you stand on, whose voice will you listen to, whose ways will you obey. Would you give the Lord an opportunity today to do something different in your life? The altars are open. Sing for us, Nolan. The altars of the church are open.